Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Welcome back from space. Outer space.
From space.
No, Cody, welcome back from jam.
Which one? One or two? Second jam?
Yeah, the second jam.
So much space news this week.
A lot of space news. Come on and slam.
And welcome to the jam.
Bugs Bunny died. Jeff Bezos survived.
Bugs Bunny did die.
Bugs Bunny did die, actually.
Yeah,
sorry, spoilers for Space Jam 2.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, I thought you were...
I think it's so much hate.
I think... You were giving spoilers for what happened in my garage last night, but
Ayo.
I guess I haven't
Bugs Bunny did
verified his thumbprints yet.
Robert, you do have a bunny in your freezer, don't you?
Oh, no, I ate it last night.
Oh, there we go. Sorry.
Nice. Sorry,
This is a very chaotic intro. Perhaps... We should start.
Is this a show?
I thought we had started. Come on. And slam.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever. Garrison's here today with us. Yay, Garrison.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Garrison. Garrison, what are the youths on about today? Are they still into the dubstep?
Actually, I am planning I'm planning on going to a dubstep tonight.
What?
See, so there you go.
What?
I am plugged into the youth.
Good Lord.
God, man, you really just pulled that out of the ethers, didn't
Thank
you, Robert?
Uh-huh. Thank you. I know what the kids want.
I'm bringing approximately 4 lightsabers. It's going to be a blast.
Yep, that sounds right for the youths.
Yep.
I'm so excited that you're going to
lightsaber
be
is
the
a
jam.
Synonym for ecstasy, right, Garrison?
No,
Garrison.
I'm just bringing 4 laser swords.
Oh.
Garrison
okay,
is...
then things have changed since my day.
Is this something that other youths do a lot of, dubstep parties with lightsabers?
That's a good question, Katie. I have no idea.
You're like, and I'm not going to answer it.
I have no idea. I don't know. Last time I went was last week, and there was a decent mix of youths and old people like Gen X.
I'll tell you what. It sounds like the kind of youths I would have liked to have been around.
Yeah, it's a blast. I get to hit people with my expensive glow sticks.
I'm sure they love that.
Listen to music. Yeah, it's fine. It's great.
Garrison does have very expensive lightsabers. You know what else is expensive?
Going to space?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not
Tickets
as expensive as it should
going
be,
Going to
I
the
guess.
Edge of space?
Yeah,
yeah, not
barely
really
space.
Going to space. Unless you're like pissing into a diaper.
Going to upper air,
staring at a pale blue dot that contains all of human history. You're not really in space, is my argument.
Is that why when Bezos came back, he didn't quite like get it? He got halfway to a realization about what we need to do.
I don't think anything would give him a real realization because I think he's already accepted that everything valuable in human history is contained within his little head.
Can I ask a timing question?
Yes.
I know that he went to the edge of space, and I know that he talked about how now he thinks we should shoot things into space, all of our industry and
the pollution. Yeah.
Put it in the space. And so you're talking about this is the epiphany he had whilst in space is let's destroy space.
Let's pollute space.
I mean, I've had that epiphany from the ground a number of times, which is why
we have to blow up the moon. But
we have to blow up the moon.
Sure.
Everyone can agree with that.
So there's this thing called the overview effect. I don't know if we've talked about it on this show.
You have.
On this show. Okay, yeah.
I can never stop talking about it.
Exactly. It's an amazing thing that I wish people could experience.
Yeah.
And Bezos got halfway there. Earth is a beautiful gem. We need to preserve it by polluting space. We're not going to slow down. We're not going to reallocate our resources. We're not going to change anything about how we operate except for in space now.
It's
so disappointing.
It's beautiful and funny and awful.
It's fucking hilarious. It's the best fucking thing he could have said. Like,
it's pretty expected. I actually read a book on this very topic a few months ago in preparation.
Jeff Bezos
for
going
a new podcast.
To space?
No, like the whole how we're going to use the space, how tech capitalists are going to use space exploration as a way to falsely fix climate change.
Yeah.
And it's going to make stuff a whole lot worse.
Yeah,
in preparation for a new project, I read a whole book on this, and it's not fun, especially when they start working together with the military to put more shit in space.
That's right.
It's not going to be a good time.
Say horse shit in space?
Just to put more shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. yeah, all of that. Because I just thought, like... Doesn't matter. Don't go down that. Yeah. Heck yeah, guys.
Good for Jeff and his realization that we need to pollute space.
He did it. Good for him.
We did not need the amount of like news alerts and amount of like space this took up on our social media feeds to tell us that he went to space for 10 minutes. Like, I don't fucking care.
There was also that
almost space.
In solidarity with my youth. In solidarity with my youth comrades, there was an 18-year-old who's now the youngest person in space.
Mm-hmm.
True.
An 18-year-old who got to go because some fucking rich person had a scheduling conflict.
Scheduling conflict and enough money that
$28 million. It's
over
the most
a scheduling conflict
thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think that is so funny. He didn't have a... Do you think he got cold feet? Scheduling. Oh. How do you what kind of conflict comes up with the one time you get to go to the edge of space?
But it's not for him. I bet he's got another couple
right.
of 28
well,
millions is lying yeah. around.
He to go again.
Not and that I, not that this, you wish like was, illness on I the mean, person, but like do you have like a surgery that's like is there like a medical
no,
thing
I'll,
and you
I'll
don't want to
he got COVID.
It? I'll tell you what it is. He had a business meeting that was worth more than $28 million.
Yep. Yeah, there yeah. it is.
Like the thing that he was doing instead of going to space is going to make him more than he blew on space because he's someone for whom $28 is like us spending $40, where it's like, yeah, it's not nothing, but like, you know, if I got to cancel on a night, you know, sometimes shit
right,
comes up.
I'm, yeah, yeah. going to make $100 today and yeah. instead of spending the
Robert,
$40. Okay, well.
Yeah. That is chilling.
Yeah, also, that's how like, they are. That's the situation.
Like, I can't even, like, how much money did Bezos make while he was floating in almost space?
More
a
than
lot.
$28 million.
Dollars, like.
Yeah.
I mean, the scheduling conflict announcement was the most out of touch thing I've heard until Jeff Bezos thanked his Amazon employees for uh-huh. and customers for funding
yeah,
his vanity trip.
They paid for it. They paid for it.
You fucking asshole.
Direct quote. Also, not to you know, stoke some intergenerational fervor.
Cody.
Are we finally going after Gen Z,
no.
Cody?
The oldest person ever to fly in space was also on that flight.
Yeah, they got both.
Wally Funk. They got the
poetic.
Oldest. They got oldest, youngest, richest.
Dumbest.
Those are the three categories.
And the cool thing about the youngest is that like they didn't like pick some like random kid who was good at science or anything. Like the guy's dad is like the chief executive of a private private equity investment firm.
Yeah,
like it's just some rich kid whose dad like knows Bezos or something.
That's the cool thing.
Hell yeah.
It's not like even a kid who like likes space or science. It's like, oh
man,
yeah, here's
Harrison.
Like
yeah,
a
right. It wasn't
person.
like a space camp lottery. Like,
no,
like, you get
really
to go to space.
Bummed me out because
some
I
teenage yeah.
thought the only way. Oh man, I really
nope.
hoped it. Was someone deserving of it.
No, it's so much worse.
I will guarantee you there's some fucking 18 or 19 year old out there who like is part of a school project designed a new kind of foam that has implications for space travel, and instead of picking him they went with a rich kid.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
or her
for sure.
Like there's some teenager who's actually invented something for space. It happens.
Who would have gained like so much from this experience?
Yeah, would have made their young life and would have set them off,
inspired
even
them for
further.
Decades more
yeah, yeah.
In the field.
would have reaped huge dip, but instead this kid's just gonna get fucked because he went to space.
Right, like, right, right, exactly. And he got to be there when Jeff Bezos realized the way to save the world is to just move all of our pollution to space.
Yeah, I it's like Jeff Bezos the night before was reading a book about how Stalin had all of the fucking Russian arms factories moved to the Caucasus Mountains during Operation Barbarossa and was like, what if we did that for climate change? We just
right,
shoot
like,
all of our
like,
shit into space because we've got a problem.
It's such a clear, like, he knew what he wanted to do and was going to say, and knew about like the overview. Like he was asked beforehand by many people, like, what do you think it's going to change about you? Do you think it's going to like alter your perspective? And so he knew that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, okay, I got something I can say. And it's this.
I bet he read that book Garrison was talking about before he went. Like, he was that's a good idea.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to get ahead of this.
Do that. Oh, brilliant.
Yep.
It's a shame because, like, I mean, he's incapable, I think, of experiencing the overview effect, because one of the things that bonded all of the original astronauts together is that none of them were psychopaths.
They were billionaires.
Which is like why you saw, despite as much ugliness as was going on in the Cold War, whenever like cosmonauts and astronauts were like together in space, there's like, well, all we actually care about is space stuff, like the politics, like who gives a shit.
Yeah, all the lines disappear.
All the lines disappear because you realize that everything that has ever existed for human beings, you can cover with your thumb, and that's profoundly changing to people with a soul. I don't think any of the billionaires
doing
whom,
profit isn't a primary driver.
Well, and to whom, like, I think all of those people as well, were ready to die for the chance to travel into space. And a lot of them did die trying to get into space. And there was never any chance of anything really going wrong with this.
Well, it's a real significant, like, it's a passion for space and science and exploration. Not
and
like
a passion.
I always wanted to go to space. So I decided to sell books online. And now I fucking can.
The risk was worth a lifelong passion.
Like, the original astronauts were like setting up fucking like weird kind of quasi poly arrangements so that when a bunch of them died, their wives wouldn't be alone, because they like were going into space knowing like I might abandon my family forever because a lot of us are going to die in the pursuit of this incredible endeavor. And
I did
Jeff
not know
Bezos,
that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. For Jeff Bezos, it was like an afternoon. Like it's there's all of the for all there's obviously plenty of things to criticize. There's that great poem Whitey on the Moon about, you know, blowing all these resources during the civil rights movement on a fucking getting a white guy on the moon. But in spite of all that, there's still this incredible story of like human beings being willing to die for exploration, and exploration finally that wasn't based on exploitation purely, that was based on just the desire to do something incredible and difficult. And there's a lot of moving history there, which
before
is completely absent.
Before now, we are moved on to the exploiting phase.
That was I mean, that was a part of it. Like the conflict was a part of it, but it was also like it was a lot deeper than that. And the way it inspired people was deeper than that. No one's going to be inspired by. You're not going to get Gene Roddenberry writing a fucking Star Trek type thing out of this.
No,
you're
absolutely
not going to get
not.
Anybody reimagining what human futures can be in an optimistic.
You might get a Black Mirror out of it or something.
Yeah, well, probably. I mean, but they don't make Black Mirror anymore because the world's too dark.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm
inspired by the space race for all its flaws, and this is just gross to me.
To be fair, you say no one's going to be inspired, but did you hear what the former head of NASA under Trump said about it?
No, I did not. Oh, speaking about Whitey on the moon, my God.
Well, share.
He said that Jeff Bezos going to space, it's one less black kid turning to like gun violence.
Yeah, with a gun
get
in
out,
his hand.
Because
that kid's only option was to be shooting someone in Compton or fucking in
get
space.
Out of here.
Incredible.
Yeah. Now they won't turn to guns.
Cool and good.
Yeah, it's the
really?
Best.
Wow, that is yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like this thing on I don't know. We should not. I don't know. It's weird looking at all these people saying these bad things. Like, oh yeah, the fascist people said the fascist thing. That's so absurd.
Oh yeah, no, like saying it like, out. Yeah, saying it out loud. And yeah, it's they do. They love occasionally saying everything out in the
open. Yeah, the quiet part loud.
yeah. You know, I'm continually disappointed by the lack of anyone to imagine a positive future. I know I harp on this a lot, but it's like this Bezos shit is like a perfect exemplar of that, because this guy with all the resources in the world looks out in at infinity, and the only thing he can imagine is factories, but on the moon. Like, yeah. Like no. That's so bleak. That's like heartbreaking.
And just the fact that, I mean, the thing that's been beaten to death that we've all talked about, but yeah, how much money went into that when things are so bad here? And you come back with your answer to shoot it all out into space? Come on, man. Like what a waste. And I've said this before and I'll keep saying it, is that every day my climate, my anxiety about what's happening and what we're not doing intensifies.
Yeah.
And it is horrifying. It's hard. It's easy to make jokes, but it is hard to watch that and have any sort of enjoyment and be thinking about what the fuck are we doing?
Mm-hmm. I got up today and I saw, you know, I didn't seek it out, but there was on Twitter footage of like the rocket and Bezos afterwards and shit. And at the same time, there was horrifying footage of a flooding subway in China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just perfect in terms of like, yep, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
The people with money are going to try and take all of the things that have rendered huge chunks of the earth at least less habitable, and in many cases uninhabitable, and they're just going to shoot that stuff into space to continue making money and avoid learning any kind of lessons or altering the way that society works in order to make things better for people on Earth, because that would mean they have less power over everyone around them. It's bad. The largest wildfire currently burning in the United States in southern Oregon, destroying some of the most beautiful terrain on the planet, they've just announced will not be put out until the rain or the snow comes this fall or winter.
October or November.
Put the fire in space, you fools. Fire in space.
Put the fire in space, yes.
Get a giant ship to suck all the oxygen out of the fire and shoot it into space. Yeah.
Yes. You know what I'm imagining is the big vacuum spaceship from Spaceballs.
Could really,
you just suck all the oxygen out for a minute, the fire goes away, and then you shoot it back in before everyone dies. That could work.
Or like Homer in space.
Homer in space with the ants.
Stop it with an inanimate carbon rod, and then everything's fine.
Hard. Every year we hear the worst wildfires in this area, XYZ, this and that. And it's like, well, this is very obvious, but I keep going, like, how much is left to burn, you know, like, before it gets to the towns and the cities in general? I know there's a lot of land. The United States is a big place, but yes, all of this, it just keeps happening. It just keeps intensifying, and we don't do anything about it.
It's interesting and frustrating because, like, all these mega dorks, like, they love, you know, they think they love, like, Star Trek and this, like, idea of, like, a space utopia and, like, you know, luxury space communism, all these sort of things, and these shows that talk about all these issues, but it all whooshes past them. They didn't actually absorb what the shows were talking about. They see space and they just want The Expanse. That's what they're creating.
And The Expanse, like, was specifically, like, not a dystopia. It was actually a bit, like, outside of, like, there's weird alien magic shit, but most of it's very grounded and realistic in that, well, yeah, you'll have a whole class of people who exist to mine space. They'll become an underclass exploited by capitalists and will build space Hamas. And, like, that's what will happen. And they're right. Like, yeah, they like the that's why The Expanse is good.
It's good. It's accurate. And, like, it's it's just wild to see that they don't even, like, connect that. Like, oh, wait, they didn't. Star Trek didn't happen because they tried The Expanse for a long time, and then it just, like, magically turned into this good situation. I don't know. It's like these.
I don't know. I think we're all in agreement that we should listeners should join Space Hamas.
Get
on board.
But, like, you, I don't know if you saw those. Every once in a while, Boston Dynamics shows off their, like, their death robots. Their new police force. And, like, someone like a day or two ago, like, shared the video of them dancing. And,
the,
like,
dancing robots.
The dancing robots. And, like, the text of the tweet was like, just imagine what AI is capable of in 5 years.
Oh, boy.
And then Elon Musk responded, indeed. Like, he's excited about this, and he's not willing or able to see any of the actual negative effects of this.
And
like, he looks at that and is like, yeah, more of that. It's like, no, read or watch any fucking, like, sci-fi that warns people about these things.
Those robots are currently being used to patrol homeless encampments in the United States.
Yeah, like, it's great.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. Oh. And, like, just like seeing that kind of response, like yeah, indeed, wouldn't, oh, it's going to be amazing. No downsides. Like Elon.
No, and it's bad whether it's AI, or whether it's a human pilot, whether, cause,
yes,
like, the
absolutely.
People who are training these, cause, yeah, like AIs are incredibly biased. It's and they're just, yeah.
But so are people, and they're going to be operating these killer dog robots. Like,
no, yeah, it's all bad. There's no upside to it.
I'm excited for when somebody goes to prison on a murder sentence for breaking the cop dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Or it'll be like a massive felony because they're over $1,000.
Oh,
you get, like,
just fucked me up so
hard.
You're stressing me out.
I'm literally doing deep breaths. We got to take a break also.
Thank God.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody, check out these ads and, I don't know, maybe make a new flag for Space Hamas. Let's get this shit off the ground. We have to be as fast as Bezos is about this, so get on it. Let's do it.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
Ah, we're back.
The French.
We've been canceled for our ideas about Space Hamas, so I apologize.
I didn't chime in. I just pivoted us to break.
That's right.
You know who else is good at pivoting?
Bugs Bunny in Space Jam 2? That is right, Robert.
We talked about space enough.
Is that true?
The entire
intelligent insurgents, because the insurgent must be able to move through the population like a fish through water, or space, like a fish through space, like a space fish destroying
property. In Space Jam 2, just saying.
I love the idea of James Cameron, like, going, like, doing all of his ocean stuff, and, like, you know, he's got his submarines, he's doing the Titanic, and he comes back, he's like, I figured it out. We gotta put all our trash in the ocean.
that would have been pretty great.
There's so much ocean!
There's just fish in there! Fuck them! so, what is it, like, that masterclass thing? James Cameron has announced that he's doing one, which is like, you know, those like videos you get to like learn from famous people. And somebody was like, I don't think James Cameron has anything to teach people who like are new enough to filmmaking that they'd be taking a masterclass. And the sad thing is, like, actually, no, he does, because his like first big movie, Terminator, he broke a whole bunch of laws to film. He was like lying to cops and like bribing people and like breaking tons of labor laws because he didn't have any money, but he wanted to make this. He made his crime movie. Like, he's actually a great guy to teach you guerrilla filmmaking, but unfortunately, he got rich and his movies have become increasingly
less cool. Weren't there supposed to be more Avatars?
Oh, yeah, they're complicated.
Who gives a shit? I want James Cameron to have exactly $1 million and go out and break a bunch of laws to make another movie, James Cameron. Like, I don't want to.
That would be awesome.
Another
that would
Avatar.
Be an incredible movie.
I'm not done asking Avatar questions. Has a second one come out yet?
No, it's not come out. But they've
no sequels have come out. Harrison, were you even alive when the first one came out?
Yes, I was alive when the first one came out.
Okay,
I just found out that Jurassic Park 3 is older than you, and that made me feel ancient.
Oh no,
the third one is. Yikes.
God, oh, no. That's bleak.
We should talk about some news.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So
I can't breathe. That was great news to find out. Do you guys want to talk about any of the stuff that we prepped for this episode?
I guess we may as well.
No, Sophie.
I mean, that's why you guys are here.
Yeah.
I'm here to chime in.
Robert, do you want to talk about crime?
Yeah,
talk
I love it. Crime. Big fan of crime.
I am a big crime appreciator.
I think if we give James Cameron a small enough amount of money, he could significantly raise the property crime rate,
which is going down.
A Terminator reboot. Yes, it is. Yeah.
So we could use that.
So there's this whole, I don't know, manufacturing consent, bleak ass. It's the response in a lot of ways to everything that happened last year in the protest against the police. All of the people who were too scared, you know, we'll call them the target CEO types, who were like frightened enough during the height of the uprising that they were like, it's cool if you loot.
Yeah.
Are now, you know, using the engines of media that exist to serve them in order to push this idea that violent crime has risen, and it's risen because police have been defunded, and so we need to give cops more money because they're all scared as a result of last year and how on the edge things were for a while.
Has the police been defunded?
That's a good question, Katie.
Absolutely not, Katie.
Interesting. I believe they, in some cases, have gotten more money.
But they sure have.
Yeah. The president of the United States recommended use any leftover COVID relief money on cops is what he suggested.
That's what I thought. This is a very frustrating topic that we're diving into today.
If you were on Twitter, you probably saw this screenshot from CNN a few days ago now about this violent crime graph they had. Now, when I first saw this, for 2 days, I thought this was satire. I thought this was a joke someone made on Twitter.
No.
And then I realized it was real. I'm like, no. Because the big thing at the top is violent crime is a very big problem. Adults. So already pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then it says,
It's like a PragerU.
Yeah, and it's like the Wizard of Oz. White House prepares to address surge in violent crime, but the thing is, they've taken a dip in the crime stats and flipped the graph, so it makes it look like it's rising, which makes no sense because you can use other graphs. And it's utterly bizarre, and it's not even crime. It's adults' attitudes on adults' perceptions of what they think crime is like.
Yeah.
But they flipped it in the first place, so it's very silly.
This is something that they're doing a lot now, where they're not actually delving into actual crime statistics.
No.
Right. I've seen this from Ezra Klein, ABC News, like a couple weeks ago, shared this thing of like the number of Americans seeing crime as an extreme serious problem is higher than it has been in 20 years. It's always about the perception. The reporting on the perception of crime being up.
Yeah.
And that is creating more of a perception that it's up. The follow-up tweet to this was about how a sweeping 75% say violent crime would be reduced by increasing funding to build economic opportunities in poor communities.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the follow-up to
think, yeah, I your perception, everything of what you said makes me think about what I'm about to say. Anecdotally. So I feel like we've got this media, we've got these graphs, we've got this framework of crime is up, and it's obviously as a justification to talk about police and funding, et cetera. And it's seeping in. People are seeing that and feeling that. And anecdotally, I have found that this conversation goes hand in hand with people talking about homelessness in their communities, which is not the same thing. It's not at all. But people in general are buying this narrative of like crime is up. They're seeing changes in their neighborhood and they're afraid. These are two separate issues that have overlap. Homelessness is up in a lot of places. The pandemic has caused that. There's a lot of root to this. You know, and there's some misconception too, because I have to look into this. In Los Angeles, I guess there are statistics of homeless rates going down, not because of the government, but because of mutual aid. You know, of people reaching out and helping each other. So that's interesting that I have to follow up and read more about. But just in general, I wanted to make that point that as everybody is feeding into this hysteria, they are looking at different problems and conflating them, and it's adding to the narrative.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who see when they hear homelessness or when they hear crime is up, they don't think about, I don't know, somebody getting murdered as much as they think about somebody doing heroin in a tent that's too near their house.
Exactly. Like, and the truth is that a lot of the statistics isn't even about crime in general. I believe it's about, correct me if I'm wrong, homicide specifically.
It's specifically homicides.
When you look at the homicide rates to say like the 1990s were way lower. So why don't we look at this problem from a different angle? Why aren't we looking at it? Because they don't want that answer. But if you look at it and you see that gun violence specifically has gone up as a contributing factor to this violent death rate, there's a lot more nuance than what a headline will tell you.
Yeah, shootings and violent crime have gone up. Almost all types of crime have continued their downwards trend. And if you take a place like Chicago, Chicago's crime rate is actually just like the murder rate is back to like 2017 levels. Actually, it's not even like there was a big dip in 2019. It's now back to what it was in 2017.
Yep.
According to the NYPD, shootings in New York are actually on a downwards trend. right now. So they
and New York is one of the safest cities in the country.
Yeah, and so shootings in New York are going back to pre-pandemic levels. And there's a whole bunch of reasons people could talk about for why shootings have specifically gone up in the past year and a half. And in terms of, like, you know, Americans' perception of crime, a lot of it has to do with, like, local news coverage, the way social media works, the way Facebook works. That leads to a very heightened perception of crime overall. You know, like, there was, like, videos that happened, like, in San Francisco a few weeks ago, you know, like, someone, you know, clearing out a whole bunch of stuff in a drugstore or something, and that, like, blew up and went super, super viral. You're like, oh, look at the crime's out of control. You're like, that's, like, one dude taking, like, a few bottles from a drugstore. Like, what are you talking about? That's, like, one person. But it gets inflated to this thing that makes it feel like it's just, like, a chronic problem that because we've defunded the police, now this is happening all the time. And you're like, no.
That's well, not- and there's a lot of it's tied in with, again, the whole not in my backyard. You know, if a guy's doing heroin, that's the same as, you know, people getting shot to death. It's the reason that those people got so angry at those shoplifting videos is that one of the most central things to American identity is like a visceral hatred of the idea that somebody might get something they didn't pay for that isn't you. It's
real
this,
funny because,
yeah.
There was a 10% drop in robberies in 2020.
Well,
so, like,
the number of, I mean, the amount of assets stolen by police as a result of civil asset forfeiture is vastly higher than the total amount stolen by burglars and robbers nationwide.
And like wage theft is way bigger than all
wage
of this
theft
put together.
Wage theft is bigger than all other kinds of theft put together. But those are not seen as, well, those are done by business owners or done by cops as opposed to a poor person taking, I don't know, some baby formula to sell, to resell on the street or whatever. Like that, it makes Americans angrier because that person's getting something they don't deserve.
Yeah, it's just it's real frustrating because, like, with all the
most American thing in the world.
If they get that, then I get less, and that's no good. Like, it's always framed in
Yeah, but it's okay if the people above me get stuff that they didn't.
Earned, well, because eventually I'm gonna be one of those people one day. Therefore, yeah. We need to.
And
keep
I
want
to be able to steal everything that's not
exactly.
not nailed down. Yeah. I don't know. The problem is the fires are in the wrong places. There's a specific number of fires I would like there to be in very specific places. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's
these
it's,
specific
you know, it's,
support your answers.
It's real funny. Like in Portland, you know, there was like a whole media thing about looting and property damage and all this type. And you know, in a lot of other cities too, because of protests. But like specifically looting and property damage, like property crimes went down 8% last year.
Oh wow!
and like looting and robberies went down 10%. So you're like, it's just interesting how fast these narratives can be.
Yeah.
Convince so many people.
Well, it's the reason everything's doomed. This is how I feel when I'm in a bad mood, which I am today. Don't take this as evidence that things are actually doomed. But it's the reason why it's easy to feel like everything's doomed is because it doesn't matter that crime went down. It doesn't matter that like this massive protest campaign actually coincided with a drop in a lot of kinds of crime. People think that Portland went off the rails because people protested and cops lost some money. And as a result, they're going to be arguing that cops need armies of robots that they can send in to murder homeless encampments. and that will spread a lot further among at least large enough chunks of the population that the government can say, like, well, no, people are demanding this. And even if most people are demanding something different, as long as they can say, well, but people are scared about crime, so we need the robot armies.
Well, as that tweet made clear, people are demanding other avenues.
Yeah, but that's not getting on the news.
That's not showing up
in Biden's speeches.
That's why they led with people think crime is a real problem instead of people think that we should give people like more opportunities and that would solve the crime.
Yeah, a lot of people have made some comment about fucking, you know, reappraising the Star Wars prequels and George Lucas's cultural analysis in those movies. Mm. And one of the things I keep coming back to is how optimistic he was that you would need an actual problem to justify a giant murderous army for the government to crack down on all dissent. Like, there is a real problem in those movies that they're dealing with. Turns out you don't need that.
No, you just create, create fear, and then it's all very insidious, because clearly there's a push to, if we want to retire, defund the police for this moment and say, like, reforming the police and doing actual change, that was on the horizon, and we can't have that. So we have to adjust how we talk about stuff. And Biden is a perfect guy for this because he's going to go where the wind blows. And also he's a big crime guy.
He's a big crime guy. Loves crime.
And always has been. He's the reason, one of the main reasons we have civil asset forfeiture on a federal level. It's that guy. So it's just, it's very predictable and appropriate. Do we have time to talk about?
We have time for anything, Cody.
Whatever you want.
The world is our oyster, and oysters died by the millions during the heat wave that baked the Pacific Northwest. Over a billion sea creatures killed.
We just needed to send them to space. They would have been fine. It's cold in space.
It's cold in space, Cody.
In space.
We could send the cops there. We need someone to watch those factories, keep them safe from Antifa.
This is a good solution.
Get all the cops into space. Antifa's on the moon.
go get him, guys. Go get him.
Go ahead, Cody.
Anyway, we were talking about oysters.
Yeah, we were. But we're not anymore. I want to talk briefly about this thing. It's called the Kerner Commission. Familiar with the Kerner Commission? Kerner Commission. Okay. It was in response to the riots in 1967. A lot of riots, a lot of crime, a lot of unrest during that period for some reason. And in response, Johnson had this thing called the Kerner Commission. Basically, they were tasked with finding out, like, what caused that? What were the reasons for this happening? What do we do to make sure it doesn't keep happening and doesn't happen again? And the results may surprise you. Basically, the Kerner Commission said that a lot of it is like racism, lack of economic opportunity,
all these things.
And it recommended a lot of reforms to how policing works and also just investing billions and billions of dollars into these communities. And that would alleviate all the crime and all this sort of stuff. And it was very clear a lot of the stuff that we talk about today, and like, wouldn't it be nice if we did this? Wouldn't that solve a lot of the crime problem? Isn't that where crime comes from? And it was completely ignored because it didn't align with what they wanted to do. Johnson was, he had his programs he wanted to do. He also had this narrative that like a lot of the riots were like caused by like communist infiltration. You familiar with this?
Oh,
does this sound fucking familiar?
Good thing we don't have this anymore. Re-anarchists.
Yeah. So he, like communist agitation fires everybody up and so on. And, the commission was like, well, no, that's not what happened. It's this and this and this. And so they had all these recommendations. It was completely ignored. It was a very popular, report. Hundreds of thousands of copies were sold. But there was a huge pushback against it from, a lot of white people. Who was the president after Johnson?
I think a cool and fun dude.
A real cool and fun guy. Dick Nixon became the
Dick
president
Nixon.
Later.
Nixon.
You can't lick the dick, Cody.
No, you can't. Well, not anymore. So it's just a very, it's a tale as old as time, I guess. An official, like, the president was like, find out what did this and what we do. And they did. And he was like, no, never mind. And the country veered into, as we know, like these law and order presidents, Nixon and Reagan and so on. They even did a follow up of this commission, I think like 20 or 30 years later, that basically determined like, yeah, so some of the things that were a result of the civil rights movement did actually alleviate some of these things and did help in some way. And it was kind of improving for about 10 years. And then it stopped and got worse. Incidentally, coinciding with Ronald Reagan being the president. And since then, it has remained bad and gotten worse. And it's, again, tales all the time. It's very fascinating to me to see just like, yeah, no, do this, do this, do this. No, we're not going to do it. We're going to be tough on crime. We're going to be law and order presidents. We're going to increase incarceration. We're going to do all these things that make the problem worse. One of the recommendations was literally like, stop incarcerating so many fucking people. And
this has been Cody's history corner.
They were like, nah. And it's that's the end of that. I just it's frustrating.
And frustrating.
Yeah.
See, that happened, and then they were like, no, and then everything else happened for decades, and now here we are.
Here we are.
Notice every few years, you know, all these riots keep happening.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they keep happening because people hate Target. That seems right.
Yeah, they hate Target. That's why they hate Target. That's why we had the 1989 Miami riots, 1992 Los Angeles riots, 1992 Washington Heights riots, and so on and so forth. It was all because we want to get a bag full of stuff from Target.
Yeah, we wanted the free Target
stuff. Speaking of a bag full of stuff from Target, it's time for another ad break.
Oh, God, yeah, let's do it. Let's fucking do it. Are you all ready? Are we ready for this?
So
are we ready to, like,
Wait.
All right.
Yes.
All right, we're edging, and... Oh, yeah, ads time.
This is the edge of space!
Yeah,
edge of space.
Baby!
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together, or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Oh, we're back. We're just coated in the gooey afterglow of an ad break. Absolutely outstanding. Astonishing. What do we got on the dock
do
here?
We want to talk about
Mitch McConnell
strikes.
So a lot has been said about Mitch McConnell's bodily fluids.
We're going with that
But
I'm so
here's
sorry,
the
Katie.
Thing. If you want to imagine it, right? Have you ever gotten like really fresh yogurt and like that liquid, that clear liquid that forms at the top of it?
Yeah.
Well, you take that clear liquid, Cody, and you put it into like a caulking gun with a mix of 50% of like the caulk that you use to like seal a window, so that it'll seal things, but it'll also smell like rotting dairy. And then you use that to seal your shower so that it keeps getting hot every time you turn on the shower.
It's getting more bacteria in.
More and
all
more bacteria. That's Mitch McConnell's cum when he's hydrated.
I mean, we could test it. You did talk to me recently about getting a pet turtle. You're getting like a massive turtle.
Yeah, so a really big turtle. A problem-sized turtle.
Like a turtle that you should not have. And it is not happy living with you.
We could.
A turtle you'd seem like, well, that shouldn't be there.
You know, I'm going to tell my turtle story before we get on to the next thing we have to talk about, which is horrible abuse at the Frito-Lay production plant in Topeka, Kansas.
Yes.
When I was a kid in suburban Plano, there was one day where suddenly there was just in the alley behind our house, like a 300-pound turtle, just a massive, massive animal. And we didn't know what to do with it. So we kind of guided it into the parking area behind our house and like fed it cucumbers and stuff and just like tried to keep it around while we figured out what to do with this. Again, like 300-something-pound turtle. And after like 30 minutes or so, its owner came by and explained that like this was just a normal turtle, like the kind you can get anywhere, but it had just kept growing. And you know, this is what happens and why most turtles shouldn't be pets. And he had adopted it when it was already several hundred pounds and kept it in his backyard. And he said, once every couple of years, it just decides to go and it walks through the fence. And there's nothing I can do to stop it. It's too strong. It's just too, like, there's no fence I can build that will keep the turtle in my yard when it decides to leave. So every couple of years, he just forces his way through. Anyway, I love turtles. I want
a
problem turtle.
And if we want, we can try to figure out how we can get our hands on some turtle jizz and then compare it to Mitch McConnell. Then we'll know for sure.
Yeah, we can milk turtles. I've milked a lot of animals. You might as well try milking
this,
a turtle.
But only because I hate science.
And journalism, apparently, Cody.
Yeah, well, yeah. Journalism.
Speaking
science,
of milking people, the Frito-Lay company has been milking human beings in order to create snack chips. And milking them to death in some cases.
Yep.
That was my segue. Someone else take it from here.
I think it was perfect.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, there's a strike because turns out many of these multinational corporations treat their workers terribly to the point that they're dying.
That they die while
literally,
at work.
Dying. Literally dying.
Multiple people dying on the job from heart attacks each
and
year.
Then
just imagining the CEO of like PepsiCo being like, I went to space and you paid for it. Thanks, folks. Like,
yeah. And so the reason they're dying, I mean, we should probably go into like why this is such an unpleasant job, because there's a massive demand for snack food in the United States, and Frito-Lay provides most of it, probably a sizable chunk of it.
Almost all of it.
And because they are, it's a situation where there's actually not enough labor, which in a reasonable world would make that labor more valuable and those workers better treated. But the way most Frito-Lay workers are not unionized, and as a result, what's happened is workers are being increasingly subjected to what are called suicide shifts, which is when they come in for 8 hours, and then at the end of their eight-hour shift, they're forced to work 4 more hours or lose their job, and then they get called in 4 hours early, which means most of them are working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. A lot of them haven't had a day off in something like half a year, and that includes like weekends. This kills people. This workload kills people. It kills people through heart attacks, because human beings shouldn't spend every waking hour of their lives on a factory floor. They're also not getting enough sleep, which stresses your heart out.
You can't like take care of yourself.
You can't take care of
yourself.
Working
12 hours a day and sleeping.
Family.
Like,
yeah. It's just inhumane. Mark McCarter, who's a 59-year-old who's worked at the plant for 37 years, do that math, and is the union steward at the plant, because about a little less than I think half the workers are unionized, told Vice, "It seems like I go to one funeral a year for someone who's had a heart attack at work or someone who went home to their barn and shot themselves in the head or hung themselves." Because it just makes you're going to kill yourself. Like, why would you keep living if all you have to look forward to is 7 days a week of working every waking hour to make snack chips, and barely getting enough to survive. It's just a nightmare. There's at least one story of a coworker collapsing on the line and dying, and managers of the company moving the corpse and putting another coworker on the line to keep it going.
Managers telling other workers
They had to move the corpse.
Was that a person that actually died and that happened? Or was it somebody that collapsed?
They died.
They collapsed
died. And then they're making room for the person that replaces them. Wow.
Yeah. OSHA is currently investigating the thing. And they have previously fined the plant for cases involving amputation and vehicular accidents.
So this is a known problem. And as a general rule, like, here's the way I have multiple family members who are OSHA inspectors. And, you know, it's an important thing to exist. But at the end of the day, how it often ends up working is, if the punishment for a crime is a fine, it's not a crime for companies.
No, it's cheaper to pay the fine than to fix working conditions and pay your employees more. So they'll just keep killing people and paying the fines. That's cheaper.
Now, during COVID, some workers got an extra $100 a week, but only for a few weeks. It didn't last long. Management staff, like the actual kind of like middle class workers, were allowed to just work from home during the pandemic, but workers were forced to crowd into a massive stuffy warehouse with each other in a plant that lacks air conditioning throughout the summer. So it's usually about 100 degrees by the time work starts.
And they're like cooking chips the whole time and like big deep fryers. Like it's very hot.
To start off at 100 degrees before you even like do the work that makes things
hard. And then you have 350 degree oil in giant vats going all day for 12 hours. Yeah.
I mean, so the gist of, don't buy Frito-Lay or PepsiCo products.
Yeah, they are official. They're not like doing an official boycott, but they are asking you to.
There are workers asking for people to not buy Frito-Lay products right now.
Yeah. Good. And I'm fine with that. And PepsiCo, because they own Frito-Lay.
And you should just look at PepsiCo to be horrified at how many things they own. Just as like a fun thing to do in your spare time, just look at PepsiCo because
look at all the freedom of choice you have.
I do love the freedom of choice in America and every other country.
Yep. Well, that's the nice thing about Zevia. It's not owned by PepsiCo or Coca-Cola. So Buy Zevia, the beverage that Robert drinks to wash down the kratom that allows him to function at his job.
Can't get the taste of that fake sweetener.
Yeah, it's tough
for
me, too.
It's not fake. It's realer than the sweeteners in your poison sodas.
Whatever that taste is, I don't like it.
It's Zevia.
I don't like regular soda either. So
it's okay, stevia. Well, it's a plant. It's delightful.
You try washing down the kratom that you need in order to function.
Katie, what flavor have you tried? There's some really
water, time like you've said demon. That, Robert.
I've tried
doing?
A few, but it's been a while.
I'm great, Cody.
Doing
I'm
all
fine.
Right.
All right.
So yeah, so in late
Do you
June.
Need some kratom right now?
Yes, actually.
Let Garrison speak, boys.
All right.
So in late June, workers voted 350-30 in favor of
300.
Yeah, 353-30 in favor of authorizing a strike. And the strike began on July 5th, I believe. So it's going on to like week three right now.
And that doesn't mean the production plant has stopped. They're still working.
Not wholly.
Believed to be at a significantly reduced capacity. But again, like I think at this point, more than half of the staff has joined the strike, but yep. less than half were with the union when it started.
Yeah. So around like 600 people, I believe are striking at the moment.
600.
Yeah. Union membership is up.
Yeah, it should be. I mean,
pass the PRO Act.
That would be good. Yeah. Also, in your spare time when you're googling PepsiCo, also Google the PRO Act, because that actually would be super helpful for Amazon's union efforts. PepsiCo, like a lot of these big corporations, it'll really help with union elections, and stopping the ability for these big companies to intimidate and just like. Crime their way out of having to follow the union laws. So yeah, you should definitely look up the PRO Act. I know Bernie's trying to get it in for some of the new economic plans, but yeah. we'll see how that works out. Yep.
But yeah, so
no Funyuns for you guys. Quit it.
Don't eat Funyuns.
I had Funyuns in like 15
but
years,
if
probably.
You if you loot fun okay
well
if you burn wait. Yeah. Okay
I mean Funyuns useful fire starter.
We'll send the Funyuns to space, that's what I meant.
here's a pro survival tip for all of you. Virtually all major American snack chips are effective fire starters in a pinch.
Is that true or a joke?
Yeah, they burn good.
Really good to know.
Oh yeah, they burn real good.
I guess the one thing we should mention as well, there's in the town where they're doing the strike, a local magazine has set up a fund to help pay the workers' bills.
Yeah.
Right now, it's the 785 Utility Relief Fund, for support for the union workers who are currently on strike right now. So
can we make sure to put that
785 Utility Relief Fund?
We'll put that in the tweet promoting this.
I will add that to the end of this thing in the doc. And yes, we should.
Well, and that's, you know, we talk a lot about mutual aid on this podcast, and we also have talked about a general strike. So like one of the things that has happened recently is some people made a flyer saying, I don't know, I think it's supposed to be in like a couple of weeks. Everybody, we're doing a general strike. Everybody don't work on this specific day. And it's dumb and it's a bad idea. And all it is like somebody wanted to feel like they were organizing. And so they made a flyer, which is not something people from Portland ever have any experience with. But yeah, somebody made a flyer and like, here's the reason it's dumb. Yeah. It's just a flyer. There's no organizations signed onto it that I'm aware of. There's been no, the reason why you shouldn't take it seriously and should ignore it is that nobody is talking about or taking, like nobody who, like when they put it together, there were no unions involved. There were no
organizations,
no mutual aid organizations.
And, like, sure, like,
you have to have a fund. That's like what we're talking about with these striking Frito-Lay workers. You have to have resources set aside to allow this thing to go on. A one-day general strike will accomplish nothing.
Nothing.
You have to be ready to stick it out for the long haul. It might get
some
people fired. But it's not going to do a damn thing. And you have to get people, you have to start into that saying, like, this is who we have on board. These are the kind of resources that we are attempting to marshal. You know, we're working on making sure that we have food capacity, that we're able to, like, take care of people, help them, like, not
because
you know
these things gain power over time. Like that's yes. that's how they actually get you systemic
influence. Doing it once and yeah.
You have to treat it like the infrastructure problem it is, and it is an infrastructure problem. No general strike is going to get off the ground without infrastructure. And that means feeding people. It means making sure that like medical care is available for them. It means making sure they have the kind of things that are going to be necessary to go toe to toe with the police. It also means making sure that either you are building resources in order to help people who are striking deal with rent or mortgages, or you're setting up organizational capacity to do like eviction resistance and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like all of that's necessary. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. If you're angry about a local issue and you want there to be a protest, you can throw out a flyer and sometimes that works out all right. You can't do that with a general strike because the kind of general strike that's necessary to deal with the problems of like climate and wealth inequality and racism among the police, all of the major problems that are confronting us. Like when you talk about the general strike necessary to have a difference on that, you are literally talking about a logistical problem at least as complicated as putting a man on the fucking moon. It will be the most difficult thing that a generation has done in living memory, which isn't a reason not to do it. It's a reason to take it seriously and not just put together a poster and say general strike time, because that doesn't do it.
Yeah. Was it a nice looking poster? Was it well designed?
Not really.
Oh.
Come on. Not really.
Graphic design is hard, everybody. Yeah. It's challenging to make good graphic design.
But that's the least important part of it. The poster doesn't need to look nice.
Do we have enough time to briefly mention the trans rights protests in L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess this whole thing started a few weeks ago with a video that went viral of a woman at a spa claiming
We Spa, which is a great place.
Let me just
it's
say,
surreal
which is,
that this
which is a good place.
Favorite place. I just needed to take a plug for We Spa. You've been there, Robert.
Oh
We
yeah,
Spa
hell yeah.
is open 24 hours a day.
You can live there.
You people bring like their sleeping bag there, but you
Yeah, it's fucking
it's
badass.
Pretty cheap to use the facilities. You can use the like the spa area or whatever, and then like go and lay in a sauna or just hang out. It's very peaceful. And yes, they're inclusive in their policies.
Yes. And so this woman, there's a viral video of this woman claiming that she saw a penis because there was a trans woman there. Now, the spa says that they did not have any trans customers there that day, and that the because then
I don't love that response either, to be honest, but yeah,
right. I don't,
yeah, but we're unsure of the origin of the video, if this woman was just lying to make this kind of big deal or what. We don't really know. I mean, in the video, spa employees are telling this lady about their non-discrimination policies and stuff. But
that's the thing I want to highlight for We Spa is that they do have a non-discrimination policy.
Yeah, the very
and if you're traveling into Los Angeles and you don't have hotel money, you can crash at We Spa. I've done it. It's not a bad way to go.
I went there once at like 11 p.m. to relax, and I struck up a conversation with a woman who was doing just that. Anyway.
But yeah, so this video was quickly picked up by like right wing commenters. It made its way onto Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
Tea sizzle.
It got a million views and retweets after Ian Miles Chung retweeted it. He's a fascist who does not live in America, who makes his money off of American politics.
Yes, he is, and
basically, this has made it like a coalition of far right people and like conservatives, anti trans activists. Including like you know QAnon-y people, like COVID hoax people.
Wild! It really was
all coming down to initially like attack this place, and then there's been people who are trans and people who support trans rights coming to both defend themselves and the spa, and this has gotten a few protests in the last few.
And the cops most recently arrested dozens of people, shot people,
40 people.
Point blank with
rubber
riot
bullets.
Munitions, stomped on a trans flag, just out of its goddamn mind.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty nasty, and you can easily like the police are protecting all of like the pedophilia protesters and the anti-trans protesters. They're like specifically sectioning them off, protecting them, while then like the last protest this weekend, they gave a dispersal order and people started dispersing and cops started like charging down the street, shooting people as they were trying to run away. So like, you know, this is also, you see this in a lot of other cities. This isn't uncommon. It's bad. Yes, but it's not uncommon that they just, you know, attack whenever they want to. And when someone's vulnerable, like they're running away, they're still going to shoot them because that's much easier.
Yeah. They're not there to protect anything. No. They're there to do damage to people because it's fun for them.
And I think,
Yeah.
But this story, I mean, we've talked about this before, but this story is just an example of all of the increased calls and rhetoric about, you know, defending women's spaces, you know, and we're just seeing a rallying cry for people with anti-trans ideology, you know, and it's the new talking point.
J.K. Rowling is doing a lot of this right now as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's continuing to do this. She's continuing to get like a whole mob. I had someone like randomly attack me on Twitter a few days ago.
Great.
Even though I'm not like super overtly trans or anything, but I'm, you know, gender queer enough that, you know, I had a woman with the three little suffragette hearts go after me, which is just pretty funny.
It's awful. You think it's funny. It's awful.
I mean, yeah, it's real bad. But like, you're seeing, you know, a mix of people who call themselves liberals do this, who are like on like the, you know, what you would call like the turfy side of things, and then we're seeing a big coalition of people who, you know, you a few months ago were focused on critical race theory. I think I'm seeing people move over to this kind of trans thing again. Because I mean, we're seeing, you know, the anti-pedophile thing is really popular here. Save your children, save our children, QAnon.
Yeah,
our
children.
We're seeing a lot of these like make figures, like in LA. There's like specific like kind of like fashy like influencers who are all showing up to these things to try to get more and more people to be talking about this specific thing and making just trans people's lives a whole lot harder is kind of just their goal right now.
I'll just also point out California has for many years had laws in place that
California does have non-discrimination laws for businesses.
Yeah, allow trans people to use the facilities that match their gender. So fuck them. These people. Like,
no, yeah, they're scum. They just want to hurt people. Fuck them. That's kind of all you need to say. Find out if you know. Support trans people in your community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Support trans people in your community and, I don't know, use the newly gained knowledge about how flammable Fritos are to...
Is it very?
Frito
Roblox.
Cocktails.
Yeah, Frito cocktails and Roblox.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, we have to do in Roblox now, by the way. I'm not sure if we've explained this on the pod yet. But
Yeah, you can't Minecraft anymore. The FBI caught on.
FBI cracked in Minecraft. It was said in court.
It's so funny how many affidavits from like boog boys arrested trying to do shit and like capital rioters and like involve FBI agents explaining in Minecraft.
Explain Minecraft in court to federal judges. But anyway, yeah, we have to stop it.
They'll never crack Roblox.
It's time for Roblox. Minecraft's understandable. Roblox is still a mystery even to me. So in Roblox is the way of the future. If you're planning stochastic terrorism in Roblox is what you have to do now.
Okay, deal. All right, guys. I think that does it for us this week. You can check us out online at Worst Year Pod. And that's what I have to say to you.
Yeah, check us out at Worst Year Pod. Figure out what Roblox
is. Yeah.
Don't let us know, though. We don't really need to know.
When I say in Minecraft, I mean in the actual game of Minecraft.
Yeah.
Me
check
too.
Out Cody in Minecraft, which he plays because he's a nerd.
I'm a child.
It's
a, fight it's a
Cody
baby.
If
it's a
you
baby
can.
Game for babies. Yeah. It's amazing.
Make him feel ashamed for the things that he enjoys.
Too late.
That's what we all hope for Cody and for ourselves. Anyway.
See you in space.
Bye.
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.